Alright, what's up, slashers and rapper girls? Welcome to another edition of the Creepy Girl Horrorcast. I'm Mistress Meg.
I'm that good buddy, Lunchbox.
And I know what you're thinking. You saw the title of this episode and went, huh, I could have sworn it was supposed to be at least Diary of the Dead, if not a double feature. Well, I can explain. Mm-hmm. Santa, I can explain. But before I do that, make sure you hit that subscribe button. We drop in your favorite podcatcher on Tuesdays. You can, 5-star reviews and comments and those sorts of things. Sharing, especially. We appreciate those very, very much. You can join us on Facebook and Instagram at Creepin' It Real, R-E-E-L as in movie reel. Email us at creepinitreal.cm@gmail.com. And merch. We have merch at creepinitreal.redbubble.com. Just a reminder, Christmas is right around the corner, and now that we have all turkeyed out this weekend, as we're recording it, it's Thanksgiving, just after Thanksgiving weekend. Mm-hmm. So, I'm full.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I had two Thanksgivings. Mm. So we went to his grandfather's house on Thursday, and then Saturday his family had their Thanksgiving. I ate so much pie. I don't typically eat a lot of sugar anymore. It hurts my stomach, but me and one of his sister-in-laws looked at each other and was like, well, there was a spread of pie. There was pecan, French silk, apple, pumpkin. I think it was one other one.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, there was like 30 people there.
Oh, okay. That makes
sense.
Yeah.
And I made pumpkin bread. Mm. So there was a bunch of pies. And then, I take a little sliver of everything because I'm like, I wanted a few bites of everything. And someone brought key lime cheesecake, which I was like, so were you not planning on sharing this with anybody else? Because I'm going to take it with me. It's one of my favorite things on the planet. I love key lime cheesecake. Weird. I don't know why, but it's fantastic. So anyway, we took a little sliver of everything. And as I'm sitting down and I'm enjoying a few bites of what I've got, Curtis comes out, and me and his sister-in-law, who also is named Megan, we were sitting there, we were chatting, and he comes out and he says, hey, I was alerted by Mom to tell the Council of Megans that there's also bread pudding. And we looked at each other and we're like, God damn it. And so I gave myself...
Shut up and take my money.
Pretty much. We gave each other 20 or 30 minutes to digest, and then we got up and got a scoop of bread pudding, too.
God.
I pigged out, and I don't like to do that, but I knew that was one when I saw the dessert spread. I was like, all right, I'm going to get a few bites of all of the dinner stuff, and then I'm going to move on to the pie, because that's what I wanted most of all. See, I love apple pie, too.
See, I got you beat this time around.
Oh, yeah?
I ended up taking the kids up to Georgia to see my mom, and they, most of the time, like their family will all get together, and they do like a big Thanksgiving dinner. Well, this time, and they're all hunters, so there's a big hunting property, all that good shit. Well, this year it was just going to be my mom, my stepdad, and then me and the kids. So, it's like, my mom really did not want to cook, and she wasn't going to go through the whole rigmarole of, you know, Thanksgiving. We found, there's this restaurant that's right up the street. It is like a down-home style cooked, like, just mom-pop
Southern Thanksgiving.
Southern. It was a Thanksgiving buffet. We didn't have to cook shit. We could eat what we wanted.
And, best part, you'd have to clean shit
no
either.
No cleaning. We literally, like, and it was hilarious. Like, I had to, like, teach my mom how to, like, buffet the thing. Like, so,
she
like, yeah, you get, like,
those.
I was like, you get, like, two plates, and then you just pile things on. And she's like, well, what do you mean pile? I was like, you take mashed potatoes, you put that on the bottom of the plate. Then you take the macaroni, put it on top of the mashed potatoes. Now you have extra room for other things. Then you take the corn, put it on top of that. I was like, and she's like, well, wow, that's crazy. I was like, that's what KFC does. That's the famous bowl. You put chicken on it, boom, famous. Like,
gravy. Don't forget
the
gravy.
Of course, the gravy. But yeah, but for the dessert, this girl that was there was like, you need to try the cheesecake. And I was like, okay, well, we're like, where is it? It's like up there. She's like, oh, no, no, no. You got to ask Phyllis. I lit up. The fact that I have to go and say, hey, Phyllis, to somebody, like, to a Southern, like,
because oh, you,
like,
you knew it was someone's granny.
Oh, my God. I was like, I had to ask Phyllis for the cheesecake. It was a deep fried cheesecake with strawberry sauce on it.
Did you make love to it?
I wanted to go and kiss Phyllis so bad.
Was that good?
Oh, it was so, like, it was so, I've never had a deep fry. I didn't know you could deep fry.
You can.
A cheesecake. I was just like, holy shit.
I've had deep fried cheesecake, but they're usually like little cubes. Like, it's small, like it's a 2-bite cheesecake.
Never.
It's
battered. I've only done like Oreos and pickles and all
the, like, carnival shit.
Yeah, but I've never had a deep fried cheesecake. That just made with love.
You could taste it, couldn't you? The creamy, lovey goodness.
It was so good. Yeah, it was very nice. 100%. But yeah, so like, I definitely think that Thanksgiving was top notch, and I actually hope that everyone else had a really good Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
As well. And speaking of Thanksgiving and nom nom noms, let's get into this little Romero stuff. So, as the explanation.
Yeah, you want me to do it? Because this is kind of my fault.
No, I'll handle this one. Oh. I'll take it.
Okay.
So, we were, you know, like I said, debating on going back and forth with doing a split episode or, even, you know, just whatever it was for these remaining two Romero films. Well, again, holidays come up and, you know, I'm in a very, like, literally in the middle of fucking nowhere. And so it was a little bit harder for me to try to watch things, you know, as far as, like, streaming goes, whatever. So you called me and you said, hey, we need to get jumping on this movie. And I'm, like, hunting, trying to figure out how to watch these films. I figure it out. And I actually find, you know, a ways to get around it. Well, you are literally in the middle of the movie.
Not even.
You just got started,
about
and you're
20
like
20 minutes in.
Yeah, and you're like, I can't do this. Like, I don't even want to watch this. And I was just like, oh, thank God. It's like, because I'm sitting here playing Pokemon and everything else.
You were putting it off. Yeah. Like, so, last night, as we're recording it, it's Sunday. This is Sunday.
Yeah.
Last night, I said, okay, I'm going to sit down and watch one tonight, and then I was going to watch one last night, and then one this afternoon.
Oh, I was planning on putting in the work for this weekend.
So, that was my initial idea. So, I saw Diary of the Dead was streaming on Tubi. I went and I pulled it up, and I know nothing about this movie. And I just know it exists. I don't know a thing about the plot. I don't know anything about who's in it, whatever. It doesn't matter. So I don't know what to expect. I'm going in completely blind for the first time ever in any of these Romero movies. At least I'm at least aware of something, even if I haven't seen the whole movie.
Yeah, because your dad knew all.
Right. So I'm like, all right, well, Land of the Dead was pretty fantastic, so I thought maybe we'd be coasting on that. Boy, was I wrong. So it caught me by surprise that this Diary of the Dead, I didn't even bother with Survival after watching part of this. Diary of the Dead was a found footage film. It was released in 2007, right on the cusp of those found footage movies breaking. It was released like a month or two before Paranormal Activity. And that's when the found footage thing kind of broke through and suddenly everybody was like, we need to make a found footage movie. Now, I personally don't mind. They're not my favorite thing in the world. They can be really aggravating. They're fine. I don't love them. I don't hate them. They're fine. I think there was potential for a Zed found footage film to work. Diary of the Dead was not it. We started over. And I hated that. We have come. Land of the Dead was like Night of the Living Dead started out. It was the very first night of the zombie outbreak. Nobody knows what's going on. The shit hits the fan. And then through each film, we progress a little bit further out from the initial outbreak. And the people, the surviving humans, have been learning about how the Zeds tick. And then in Day of the Dead, we get to the point where the Zeds are learning themselves. And they sort of are starting to become a bit more human again. So we have this progression of the types of characters in these Romero films. Diary of the Dead starts over. It's sort of a, what if we had a zombie outbreak in 2000, and I think it was filmed in 2006. What if we had a zombie outbreak in 2006? Why? We've come so far, and we have progressed these ideas, and I think Land of the Dead was kind of the pinnacle of those ideas that Romero had sort of planted the seeds in and kind of started working with in the first few films. And it kind of came to fruition there. And I really wish the series had stopped with Land of the Dead, and it did not. Because it's like, let's go out on a high. Each movie got progressively a little bit better. Day of the Dead was probably the one I had the worst feelings about, but I'm not alone. But Land of the Dead was such a good point to end it on, and so I went in cautiously optimistic to Diary. Well,
I will say that survival, though, like, it's not a found footage thing, and it's actually like a full fleshed out like movie with, you know, so it's like,
which I'm sure is fine, but I get in like 15 or 20 minutes into Diary of the Dead, like the first few minutes of the opening credits, I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, it's a found footage film. I wasn't expecting that. I'm like, all right, I'm getting into it. And about 10 minutes or so into it, I was like, this is not going well. The characters are super annoying. Tatiana Maslany's in it for some reason. Orphan Black, mm-hmm. She-Hulk is in this movie. And yeah. That caught me way off guard. I was like, what?
This is her early.
What are we doing? This was a couple years before she had gotten hired to do Orphan Black.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. Nope. Her character was kind of a weenie. And I'm like, I don't think I like that. And nobody was particularly likable, and it was boring. Like, nothing was going on. So I get to about the 20-minute mark, and I'm like, I look over at my boyfriend, and I'm like, I don't think I could finish this. And that is a really rough thing for me to say, because if you've been following us for any length of time on this podcast, and if you're a horror movie fan in general, there is a lot of crap out there, and we've sifted through some of it. Like, there's been some real Lulus that we've seen that are genuinely bad films, bad scripts, bad filming, bad editing, bad you name it. But I at least got some sick, weird, twisted entertainment out of those. Out of Thanksgiving, out of Clownado, out of Zombievers. Zombievers was one of my favorites.
That is the dumb.
That was so fucking dumb.
I can't wait to watch that movie.
Woo! That one was dumb. But it was one of my favorites because it was so off the rails. This was just boring. And it didn't give me much. And there was really nothing that wanted to keep me hooked. And once I shut the movie off and I thought about it for a few minutes, I was like, this... If I go through with this and I finish these films, this episode is going to turn into a complete bitch fest. And I don't want to do that. That's not entertaining. Nobody wants to hear someone complain for an hour and a half about something. Like, because I knew that I wasn't going to be able to pull any positives out of this. Like, at all. So in lieu of that, we're just going to go ahead and do the wrap up. And I love the text message when I was like, I can't finish this movie. I'm turning it off. We're going to have to do something else. And I get the text message from Lunchbox, and all it was, oh, thank God.
I couldn't stop laughing. Well, cause I remember, like, I've seen the movie, but it's been so long. And I don't think that I remember liking it either. And it was one of those movies where it's like I watched it and then just completely forgot about it. Because, mm-hmm. like, I don't remember much. Like, other than it just being a found footage film, that's it. I don't remember anything else from it. Mm. Survival, there's things about it. I think it was the same thing, but it's been so long. I'll probably go back and maybe rewatch Survival. But I kind of gave the A-okay on this because it, like, I want to give it just as Romero's major films. Like, just that.
I think, wasn't Survival of the Dead straight to DVD?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, both Diary and Survival were straight to DVD releases. So it's like, you know what? Let's just do, like, make this Romero's the big four. Like, you know.
Theatrical releases.
Theatricals.
Yeah.
And we'll throw in Savini's remake in with that as well. But that was something where having the Of the Dead series, there was a reason why I picked this.
Oh?
Yes.
Enlighten me.
It was mainly because we decided that we were going to do Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween is one of my least favorite slasher movies of all time. I know you're not a zombie person. Also, it was something where we could actually go in through like an entire franchise and it's short, sweet. All
there's plenty stuff. Of well, and there's enough meat on the bone to do something with it.
So, but that was one thing. I was kind of curious to see how your take on the Romero films would differ going back into the podcast. And lo and behold, I don't think it changed at all. So mm-mm. I kind of got a little bit of a sick little twisted feeling out of it just because I was just like, oh, like, I knew exactly how you're going to react to all these
films.
Did
I thrill you?
Yeah. Well, I was actually more surprised about Land of the Dead. Because I was just like, it's going to... Well, I was more surprised at your reactions to Day of the Dead. And then the reaction into Land of the Dead, because I was like, well, shit, if you didn't like Day, you're probably not going to like Land. But it was just like, and then I was like, I knew it's like, but once you were like, oh, no, Land was actually really good. I'm like, you peaked at Land. Like, that's it. Like,
right.
That's,
we you're not, going
you're
any
not
higher.
Going, I knew you weren't going into the other ones. But I was like, it was more of like, it was a social kind of experiment for me. Just to see.
A case study
just to see how you would react going into it with a little bit more due diligence as far as like in a more critical eye type of thing. But
sure.
Because yeah, I mean, it's like, I'm a zombie person, so I already know how I feel about these mm-hmm. films. So.
Well, there was a couple of things that surprised me because we'd watched Night of the Living Dead a couple of years ago. So I knew how I felt about that one. And outside of Barbara being the worst thing I've ever seen committed to film, I did like the movie. There was a lot of things to like about it. The middle, Dawn and Day. I wanted to like Day of the Dead. Like, Dawn of the Dead caught me off guard because it's held in such high regard amongst the fans of horror fans in general, but also specifically like zombie movie fans. Like, Dawn of the Dead is usually the top of the top. Most people are like, this is one of those instances where the sequel's better than the original. It gets praised quite a lot, so even though I had only seen bits and pieces of Dawn growing up, I was kind of like, well, I mean, it has to be good, right? Because a bazillion people basically, like, licked the balls of this film, so it has to be, have something.
Wow, phrasing. Good night. Like, I was about to take a drink, like,
we'll just be glad I edited myself since I didn't say what was actually cruising through my mind. But there's a lot of people that are like, Dawn of the Dead is the top. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I went and I watched it and I was just very disappointed because of the nothing that was going on. It didn't make me feel one way or the other besides bored. Go back and listen to that if you haven't yet. And Day of the Dead, I wanted to like because I knew, okay, we're going to get some real conflict because we've got the scientists and the military people, and obviously Bub is so lovable, and the amount of frustration I felt watching that was terrible. I'd only seen Land of the Dead the once, and it was a year or so after it had come out, and even though I remember seeing, I think I fell asleep partway through the movie, but like I remember seeing parts of it and thinking that it was pretty good. Like, there was some good stuff there, and John Leguizamo is always entertaining, and Simon Baker is always super charming, even when he's playing like a morose motherfucker like Riley. Asia Argento, you get at least the eye candy with her. Like, there's enough meat on the bone for Land of the Dead that you can, someone can get something out of it. Plus, I think that was the best script in terms of the social commentary that Romero had been trying to make. I think that was the best one. He managed to integrate a lot of things very well into a 90-minute movie. And then we go off the cliff. So, yeah, I felt bad because I know we said we were going to be doing this, and I know there's a lot of people, we have a lot of people who listen to us every week, but I don't want it to be a negative, and we had considered the double feature simply because we didn't think we were going to get a lot out of either film, mm-hmm. enough to fill at least an hour. So,
well,
here we are.
When we got into, like I said, when we got into Halloween and we did how many movies? Almost 3 months. And
it was nine movies.
Nine movies. And I guarantee you that I did try to pull out a lot of positives, but there was a lot of bitching. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of me just critiquing it. And I could see where it's like if someone, you know, sees that and they're uber fans of it, that they're probably going to take whatever I say wrong because I'm not a big fan of that.
And Halloween fans tend to be very,
very,
very loyal, very rabid, very neckbeardy about their films. Yeah.
And then that's where, like I said, I have always been a zombie guy. So hearing you talk about certain films the way that you were. Like, yeah, I got that idea, but it was just, at the same time, it was like, I've always said, it's like, if you don't like it, you don't like it. Like, that's, I mean, it's more movie for me. Like, that's, you know, I'm, or for anybody else in that case, but it's just at the same time where it's like, we're here to critique and give some type of entertainment or some type of, you know.
But it's
whatever,
not entertaining.
You know.
I don't find it particularly entertaining to just be down on something.
Yeah.
And especially because we had gotten that criticism before, I'm just like, you know what?
If it's gonna be harsh, it's gonna be bad.
Yeah, and I don't want to do this all the time, where we're like, okay, we can't finish this movie, we need to pivot. But I think this is one case where it's like,
I say that if we can, like, okay, see, I grew up playing hockey, so it's like whenever, like, we're in the locker room and we're, you know, kind of, you know, joking around with all the other guys, it's like, you know, we're kind of picking on them type of thing. It's like, you know, we're all buds, and it's like, that's just kind of like just how we, so it's like, if we're having fun kind of trash, it's like, that's just a good way for us to just kind of make something negative into it, like a more of a lighter kind of,
sure, you want to lighten it up a little
bit. Yeah. So I mean, but if we're just sitting here just going, that piece of monkey shit, like just going to town on it, then yeah, that's definitely not fun.
So
I mean, that was my thing, was like, I was more interested to see like how your reaction to these films would be, just because I remember you were saying, like, you know, when you said that your dad used to watch it all the time, and you had that old boyfriend that also watched it, you never said that you really got, like, you watched them yourself. And so this would kind of force you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's kind of why I chose these films to do that.
You were just going to be back for Halloween.
Yep. so,
here we go.
Yeah. So, but that was the thing, was like, they, having you go into more critically, especially for Day of the Dead, like there was a lot of stuff in Day of the Dead where I was like, I know we could like really dissect it and, or like, you know, they could go into it, but it was mainly, I was like, out of all this entire thing, the one thing that I was hoping that you would catch, or Curtis would catch, is the fucking gun with no bullets in it. Like, that was my all-time favorite thing, just because it's such
a blooper, huh?
What a goof. But like, it's like, I was like, if they don't catch it, I'm gonna be very upset,
right?
so
yeah, I mean, I caught on to a lot of that stuff, but let's take a look at the highs of the five that we watched. Is there anything in particular outside of Bub.
Damn it.
That you would say was, like, one of your favorite things. Yes, the Bub salute.
Always salute that fucking zombie.
Well, that's why I had to say that, because I knew, obviously, Bub, but
it's,
I mean,
Bub.
That's
my Slayer, Rain and Blood.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite Slayer song? Rain and Blood? No shit, dude.
Mine too.
Angel of Death? No. But yeah, no, mine's actually, I actually really like Disciple. But that was the thing was, for, Bub is definitely like the end all be all for me when it comes to zombies, anything in zombie films. It's just,
he's so damn charming.
It's almost like, it's either puppy. Like you're looking at like a, like dealing with a toddler.
Or
like, or like a mentally handicapped person, like, you know. So that's just like, and that's the thing is, but Bub is just like, you just want to be around him, and it's like he's a rotting corpse that if he bites you, you're fucked. But it's just like you just want, like, I just want to hang out with this guy. Like, it's, I don't know, like it's just really fun. But for the highs for me, I think they are really going to differ as far as, like, for each movie. Like, each movie has, like, its own thing, but Day of the Dead has always been my all-time favorite, but it's the special effects. Like, that is the high point for me when it comes to the, like, Land of the Dead, I think, did really, really good, but I think it was more the special effects on the actual zombie makeup and just making them look rotted and just updated, and because it's what, 20 years between the two?
Day of the Dead and Land of the Dead?
Yeah, it's about 20 years. So they are able to like update it and make all the, you know, just the sunken in faces and the flesh actually look,
you know, they were gross.
So good looking. But the special effects for Day of the Dead, if you look back through like some of the documentary stuff that what Tom Savini and, you know, the KMB guys, like what they were ended up doing for the stuff, I was like, it's really cool. Like, so that's probably some of my favorite out of the entire thing that like, that really stands out to me. And it's just Day of the Dead. Everything else is kind of, we won't talk about that. Well, we will actually. What was some what was a highlight of yours out of all of the dead majors?
Barbara 2.0 was a pretty high highlight for me, especially because up to that point, most of the women characters, of which there have been three, in the Sausage Party that was a Romero film, were not great. They were either one-dimensional or damsels in distress, and I was not a fan.
Yeah.
But Barbara 2.0...
From the Night of the Living Dead remake.
Yeah, from the Savini film. She was capable, she was intelligent, she problem-solved. Once Ben told her to get her shit together, she actually did get her shit together, and then was quite useful. Because I'm a big fan of the Ellen Ripley's and the Sarah Connors and those type of characters, I really, really appreciated seeing her, that version of Barbara. She was pretty much a highlight for me, especially because the ending of the Savini film changed so much. It was a drastic change from Night of the Living Dead, which from 68, which up until that point, both films were running pretty parallel to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then halfway through the third act, the Savini film just took this hard left turn and completely went off of that path and decided to do something different with it, with Ben getting turned and Barbara getting away and the her finding the hunting party, joining it and doing all these things, and how she took blood. She shot Cooper. And he very clearly was alive because he seemed happy to see her. And she went bang. Because he almost got her killed. Like, she was cold-blooded.
Wish a motherfucker would.
Right. But she was, she was a bit cold-blooded there. But she knew what she was doing, because Cooper was, if they took Cooper alive, he was going to bring that entire party to its knees.
Yeah.
They were all going to wind up dead. So she kind of did a favor, if you want to kind of extrapolate that out, the what ifs. I think her doing that did a bigger favor than anything else. But she definitely was where it was at. And my other one, because I did have another one, was the Big Daddy, Zed.
Yeah.
Yes, Bub is lovable, and he's charming, and he does the goofy salute at the end, and that whole thing. Like, I love the Bub character, but I love that the Big Daddy character took that a bit further and just did more with it, with that very idea. And he was smarter, and he was figuring things out, and he seemed to be right at the same level as the humans. And every time the survivors would throw something at him, like the sky flowers, right, where all the other Zeds are mesmerized by the fireworks, he's the one who figured it out and went, oh, this is a trick, and then tried to snap everybody else out of it. And he was the one who came up with the plan, and he was showing the other Zeds, like, how to use their tools if they didn't know already. And it's just like, that was such a cool character, just to build off of that, what Bub started. I really, really, I appreciated that. Like, it was a very intelligent character choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one thing that I also loved about the Romero films, is that they all seem to kind of piggyback off of the movie that came before it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why the Diary of the Dead was such a jarring little, like, you just like kind of like pulled the rug out from it, because you're expecting one thing or the story to kind of continue on like Romero does, and then he goes, oh no, I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna do something like
we're gonna start over.
Yeah. And a little part of me was like, if that was gonna be the thing of doing like a found footage movie, it's like I would have just done something like a Masters of Horror type style, where I'm doing like little segments or different stories.
Sure, make it a short.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Just do like four shorts in one, and just doing it that way. But it was just one of those things where I love that each story, it was just the idea they took and kind of continued on with it. But the one thing that I kind of wish that he would have done is I want to see a movie where a character comes back and they reshow, like, so one of the heroes, so like
Ken Foray comes back.
And exactly, like, yeah, so like even if it's just like a quick little like cameo thing where he just stay like, yeah, just there, but it's like that character comes back and there's like you see how they've progressed or what they've been doing, or
especially because we have that trio in Day of the Dead escape to the island.
Exactly.
Three of them got away.
Yeah. So,
well,
I mean,
what happened there?
I mean,
Fran had a baby.
Yeah. I mean, they're on the island. They're doing their thing, and it's just, it is what it is. But it's like, we don't know what is happening and what progressed with those characters. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there's so many of those. I mean, we watch Walking Dead and all. I mean, it's just so many of these frigging zombie movies and games.
In 2010. In 2010, when The Walking Dead had come out, in the year or two following that, it was a glut of zombie shit.
Oh yeah, it was like
that's when we saw.
It was like when Twilight came out. It's like everything was
just vampires
fucking
everywhere.
Vampires, yeah. But that was the thing, was like that when we had like The Walking Dead, it's like it was a TV series, so we got. Every week we got something new. We got more zombies. We got, so you have a shit ton compared to Romero, where it's just an hour and a half, you know, type of, you know, that you have to deal with. So I would almost like to see, you know, take those characters and flesh them out, because I think you could get some really good shit out of them. But
well, you can get Legs just telling, I don't know, keep the time frame the same and just go to different parts of the country. What's going on? Because we were in Pennsylvania for all of these. what's going on in Boston?
Yeah.
What's going on in Omaha? What's going on on the West Coast? Like, yeah. Throw a dart, pick a city. Like, what's going on in all of these places? How about, like, some tiny town, Nowheresville, Missouri versus Miami?
Ben, what the story that he told Barbara in the Night of the Living Dead remake.
About the diner?
About the diner. I was like, that's its own story right there. Where right. It's just like, it's follow Ben. Like, Ben is such a lovable character.
And end it when he gets to the farmhouse.
Yeah. It's like, boom. It's like, okay, well, now you have a story going up to it. And what Ben had to do to get to the farmhouse. And then now we know, oh, now this is where it continues on. So, like, that little stuff like that would be really cool. As far as, like, continue, like, if you're going to go back, it's like, do, like, a something like that where you're pulling up another character or somebody that you dealt with from a previous movie mm-hmm. and follow up to whatever they're doing. So, I mean, like, that, I think, would have been...
I mean, a good story is, yeah, the Ben story leading up to... The end of the film is when he's pulling up to the farmhouse. Would be great, like you said. But I also, like, Fran was pregnant. How do you raise a baby in a zombie apocalypse? I mean, granted, she had Ken Foray at her back. Pete? Wasn't he Pete?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if it was Pete or Phil.
Yeah.
But, like, she had somebody with her. Did they end up sticking together?
Yeah.
Throughout all of it? Did they end up parting ways eventually? How did that kid end up coming up through all of this, or does she just not have the baby? Like, yeah. there's other things you can look at, because he left, Romero left some of these stories fairly open-ended, where you theoretically could go back and visit them if you wanted to. But I don't know. I just missed opportunities.
Or I think my favorite out of all of those decisions would have actually had to be, I want to see a Big Daddy story. I want to know who that guy was, because, like, he seems like that type of dude that, he could have been a mechanic, but he was just, like, maybe done, like, a football coach, or, you know, maybe he was in the military or something, like, because he had some type of leadership skills.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's, like...
Outside of just being a business owner.
Yeah, I would have thought that would have been pretty cool to be like, okay, I want to see Big Daddy's story and how he got bit. And, like, what did he go through in order to do that?
Or, how did Blade survive for 30 years wandering around Pennsylvania?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, to have him just show up in Land of the Dead the condos, I was like, okay, how did he get from Monroeville to that city? I don't know which city Land of the Dead was supposed to take place in.
I think it was still in Pittsburgh.
Okay, well, Monroeville is a suburb of Pittsburgh.
But, yeah, like, yeah.
How did he manage to survive all of the hunting parties? How did he manage to dodge getting killed for 27 years? Tell me that story, because that is fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, like, stuff like that, or even if it's just a comic book, like, just a story about the, like, that would be... Like, that would satisfy me for sure. And I know it's like, we kind of get little bits of that with Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Shaun of the Dead is literally just a...
romantic comedy with zombies.
Well, it's that, but it's an homage to everything Romero did.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean... literally, like, if you go through Shaun of the Dead and you pull up the little special features thing, they have a zombie, you know, information thing where, like, throughout the film it'll say they use this from Day of the Dead, or they use
nods, like, to that original trilogy,
the whole thing. It's probably one of my favorites, but, like I was saying, they kind of did that idea where they showed you the people before they turned into zombies, and then you saw them, like, what happened to them after they, like the kid that worked with him in the electronics shop.
Yeah.
You got red on
you.
Or the people
in the grocery store.
Yeah. So, like, that was cool that they showed you them as normals and then turn around and whoop, flip.
It was also kind of funny with Sean, because the normies were also zombies, because they were just
Yeah.
Going through the motions of their lives.
Yeah, because you saw, like, Mary as the store clerk, and she literally just looks dead just at the cash register, just zipping through.
I think that job has sucked the life out of her.
Yeah.
So her becoming a Zed was just a natural next step.
Yeah. God, I love that movie. She's drunk. She's pissed.
I do, yeah. No, Shaun basically writing, Shaun of the Dead being a love letter, Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright's love letter to Romero is great.
Yeah.
But the whole, I don't know, man. Like, I don't understand. The series was so all over the place in terms of tone, in terms of what he wanted to say, in terms of look and feel. Granted, most of these films were in different decades. Like, Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead are the two that feel the most alike.
Mm-hmm.
They were 7 years apart, but they were in two completely different decades. But they're the ones that have, they seem to have the most in common, just on a surface visual level. Obviously, Night of the Living Dead, he decided to film it in black and white because that was literally because it was the cheapest way to do it. Kevin Smith did the same thing with Clerks because it was cheaper to film in black and white than it was to film on color.
Yep.
But it also lended an eeriness to it that Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead didn't have, because black and white has this incredible ability to screw with the imagination through the shadows and highlights of what's going on.
It gave it that very old classic horror movie monster, like, mm-hmm.
The original Night of the Living Dead has more in common with the Universal Monster Pictures than it does with the ones that came after it.
Yeah.
So it's all over the place. And if it didn't have Romero's name slapped on it, you would never know that these are all within the same universe. And because Land of the Dead was 2005, it looked like a 21st century film. It felt a little like a combination of like Terminator and Apocalypse Now, though.
Yeah.
It had that sort of vibe going for it, but even the dialogue, like, the humor was different, the dialogue was different. It just, there's nothing consistent about any of these movies. Except maybe Tom Savini.
Yeah. I mean, that was the thing, was I love the classic Night of the Living Dead because it gives that old,
spooky.
I just love that old school feel. Mm-hmm. Like, that is, it's just one of my favorites. I even as a kid, it's like, or even as a kid, I should say, as a grown-ass man now.
Right.
I adore Abbott and Costello. Like, I love that old school, just that black and white, just slapstick comedy, and just, I actually try to introduce her son to it, you know, and he's starting to kind of get into it a little
right.
bit. And I wanted to show him who's on first. And
well, Lou Costello is really funny. So
they're just fucking hilarious. But like, I wanted to show him the Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein,
mm-hmm.
Just because it's a really cool, like, I love that Universal monster mashup with that comedy. But that was the thing, is like, I love that stuff, or like the Our Gang, like Little Rascals, like the old school Little Rascals. I love that shit.
From the 20s?
Yeah. Like, I used to have the box set on VHS for all that shit. Like, it was really cool. But I mean, like, I'm really, like, I'm a sucker for a lot of that old, like, black and white stuff.
Sure.
But Romero, like, it was just really cool. It's like, once you actually understood, like, what the zombies were doing, they just weren't just random shuffling people. It's like, no, they were actually out to eat you. I was like, that is a really, really cool concept.
Even though it's not clear as to, I mean, that's part of it. The ambiguity is probably part of the charm of these movies, is it's not clear why they need to consume human flesh, what drives them to consume human flesh. There's like nothing explained anywhere in any of these movies. The Zeds, they just do.
And that's why it's like, I like the survival portion of Dawn of the Dead, just because it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, if I got held up, it's like, I would love to be in a mall. Like, that would be...
Sure.
Everything's fucking there. Like, it's just one of those, like, what-if kind of scenarios. That,
right.
That everyone always puts themselves as, like, I'm going to go to fucking Walmart, or I'm going to, you know, go hold up in a grocery store or something.
Yeah, you know. Play with that a little bit more.
Yeah. But the thing that that made me love Day of the Dead more is the stuff that Frankenstein was doing. The doctor from, you know, not Victor von Frankenstein. But, like, that was the thing is, like...
the nickname that he was
yeah,
given.
The nickname Frankenstein. But it was because of that where they were, like, he was trying to figure out, like, what drives a zombie. And that hasn't been done throughout any of those other movies. So it's, like, no. To actually have a character go, okay, here's... Like, you guys are trying to find the cure to stop this. I'm trying to figure out why it's just happening. And he's kind of getting into this behavioral thing. And that's where we're getting into the stuff that where it falls into Land of the Dead. And that's where I like...
Yeah, that natural progression.
Yes. And so that's something that's why I like Day of the Dead so much, is because they added that element in there where they're saying, like, oh, the zombies don't want to go to the military guys because they know they're just going to die.
Yeah.
They're not just brainless. They're not just going to just, you know, like, they still have a drive to, like, it's just, a weird animalistic just chaos brain. Like, there's nothing there, but they still have that instinct to do certain things, and it's just like, so I like that Frankenstein put that in there, and it added more to the movie to me.
I like what Frankenstein was doing more than I liked the actual character portrayal. It was a bit ham-fisted, the way that the actor played this guy. They're like, play a mad scientist, and he goes, okie dokie, and then just, he makes it cartoony in some parts of it. It's just too much for me. It's just too much.
I can definitely see where it would be a little bit more of a...
Because you can be sadistic without doing any of that.
Yeah. I mean, I like him, and I like the demeanor that he had, but I can definitely see where it's a little bit more, not cartoonish, but it's more of a depiction of a scientist. Like, that when you say scientist, it's like, oh, like...
He's a caricature.
There it is. Thank you. Yeah, okay. So I was getting there. I was working my way up. I was warming up to it.
I knew, but I was like, he's never going to find the words, so yes. I'm just going to help you. Brother out, and...
Yeah. But yeah, like, that was like... So I like Frankenstein a lot, and I can definitely see where he is just definitely a caricature of a scientist, but it was the idea is the big thing for me, and him interacting with Bub and just continue on with that research is huge. Even in the remake for Day of the Dead, was it Bloodline or whatever?
I mean, I know it exists, but yeah. I have no idea what
I watched
about.
It just to make sure to see if it would be something that we would need to talk about, but since we're...
Nope.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's interesting because they kind of take that same kind of concept of, like, what it's more of a, one of the girls is trying to find the cure, but then it turns around where it's like they're trying to figure out why it's just happening, and it's like a weird meshing. And then it comes into this whole thing where there's like a patient zero where this guy's a zombie, but he's not actually dead. He has living parts, and it's a weird...
I'm surprised that we didn't get to the patient zero before that.
Yeah.
An outbreak has to start somewhere.
And that's where it's like, I can understand where if it was like Diary of the Dead, if that's kind of what they were going on, it's like, okay, this is patient zero. This is where the start of it is going to end up being. I mean, hell, in fucking Resident Evil, you had, you kind of had like, oh, this is where the start of it would be. But it's like, I mean... That was something where I could see maybe doing a Romero movie. I know he's not here anymore, but, you know, it's like at the time.
You know. You know what? I can't even say a Romero style movie because he didn't have one.
No.
Because these things were so all over
the
place.
You know what Romero's style was?
Whatever he felt like at the time?
A dollar and a donut. That's about, that was his style.
That was one of my favorite things you said throughout this whole series. A dollar and a donut, Meg. I'm like, okay, fine.
Yeah, like, the fact that he was able to do what he did on the budget that he had is still pretty impressive. Like, that's,
some people know, work well with a shoestring.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I give him all type of credit, but that was the thing, was I could see, it would definitely be one of those things where if somebody took that idea and did, like, a Patient Zero thing, it wouldn't be a Romero film.
Mm-hmm.
It would be their film. And, or, you know, that whoever.
Yeah, probably.
And they couldn't do, I mean, because you wouldn't have even, like, the Romero, even if he just did, like, kind of like the John Carpenter thing where he did the producing or helped write or whatever. It wouldn't give you that flair of whatever, you know, Romero, you know, completed within his own films. So it, I don't know, like, it would be cool, but it wouldn't be that.
No, you kind of have to, I think this is one of those cases where you really ought to just let the property rest with its creator.
Yeah.
I personally think that's the best bet. That it might just be a me thing. I don't know. But I think Romero did a thing, and it, in terms of dollars, was not very successful, except for Land of the Dead. I think that was the only profitable one he's ever put out. But in terms of impact and influence, especially because a lot of the Dead movies had caught on more after home video release, you can't really take that away. So whether you love them or hate them, I say this to myself as well as anybody who else might be listening with a similar opinion, you do have to at least respect what he started. Because, yeah, maybe there were zombie films prior to what Romero did in 68. I have no doubt about it. Like, there was White Zombie in the 30s, but that was more based off of the voodoo thing.
Yeah.
Then
hypnotism. And
yeah. It was all hypnotic kind of the thing, those type of zombies.
Still a great movie.
Sure, but Romero was like, well, what if they came back from the dead? And then he picked that up and made a 40-year career out of it. So he just, I don't know, like, he did something, and he's been copied, and there's been pastiches and all kinds of things that have been done with his movies, and the Shaun of the Dead style things where they pay homage and write a love letter.
Robert Kirkman, Walking Dead.
Yep. And so a lot of the video games, like Left 4 Dead.
Dead Rising.
Dead Rising
actually is in a mall. It's like,
yeah. It's literally like, what would happen if Dawn of the Dead was just the one survivor?
Yeah.
And then you take it from there. So, he did a lot. I think he, love it or hate it, you know, he paved the way for a lot of, especially low-budget directors that didn't have two times to rub together. I think he's a pretty good template as to what you can do on a really tight shoestring.
And the one thing that I do love about Romero is, like, in all the documentaries that I watched, where they always bring up how lovable and likable that he was to work with. I mean, there may be, like, you know, everyone's got their conflicts and stuff like that, but for him, like, for the city of Pittsburgh, like, that's the thing, is like, when it's like, oh, hey, we're doing a Romero film, and then, like, city of Pittsburgh's like,
okay,
go for it. Like, and then, like, the, when he gets the Pittsburgh National Guard, just go, cool, we're in. Like, with no, just,
no coercion, no arm.
Yeah.
No arm bending, nothing.
Yeah, and they just, and everyone just wants to work and do things for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing, is, like, he's just like, oh, I can't really, you know, pay a whole lot or whatever it is. And they're just like, cool, I just want to be in the fucking film.
Well, after after Night of the Living Dead, but especially after Dawn of the Dead, because he had built such a niche audience, and unfortunately, Land of the Dead was really his only profitable movie, but Romero really has, like, a core audience And that's about it. He mainstream, in, you know, air quotes, he's mainstream, but not to the level as probably some of his peers, John Carpenter and Wes Craven, and like some of those other people who, Sean Cunningham, like worked through the 70s. He just, dollar wise, never got there.
Yeah.
With the rest of them.
Yeah. But that was one thing, was like having him have that following and just have that loyalty, you know, for these people, just like, mm-hmm. I mean, there's, in some of the documentaries, like there's people that are just sitting there like, oh yeah, we've been here for like 4 or 5 days and just, we're waiting to, you know, kind of get things going. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, like one goes, yeah, I was the arms that came out of the wall and I was doing all types of stuff.
Or they,
like,
didn't care. They just wanted to be a part of it because they thought it was cool.
Yeah. And you know what they got? Like, so in Dawn of the Dead, they gave him a dollar and a donut, mm-hmm. right? And they just slapped him with grease paint and just called it a day. But in Day of the Dead, they got a hat that said, I was a zombie in Day of the Dead.
Cute.
And then the newspaper that said The Dead Walk, right? Mm-hmm. Each person got a copy of that newspaper.
Very nice.
Which I was like, that's pretty bitchin'. Like, I would love that.
Like, wait, I want one.
Yeah. And then they also got a dollar.
And...
they got the dollar.
And a dude.
I was like, that's pretty fucking cool. Like, I mean, it, just to sit there and go, yeah, I was a part of this film, but it's just like, I mean, as just an extra, I mean, that's one thing that's, you know, whatever, you can't, like, pay out the nose, but, I mean, it's like, they still wanted to do something. I mean, sure. If you're making the, and that was something where it's like, if he saw that you're making the effort, he's like, he wanted to give it back. And that was, as far as, like, when you hear stories about directors like that, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, you want to work for that guy. It's like, you want, because you know that he'll do the same, I guess, back to you. Again, I don't know him personally, but, it, like, this is just kind of what I'm getting from the documentary.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if there's, like, you know, stories of him being a dick. I mean, we have our own little story of Tom Savini being a total douche nozzle to us.
He wasn't douchey. He just would rather have been anywhere but at that convention.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because we went to Spooky Empire, and, you know, I was kind of low on money at the time, but I really wanted to go and meet Tom Savini and, you know, the rest of the cast and everything else. And I walked right up to Tom, and I was like, man, I'm, you know, a huge fan. Like, it's really awesome to meet you. And he just stared at me. He didn't say anything. He just, like, looked at me and didn't, like, that was it. But it's like, out of all the documentaries and stuff that we see of Tom Savini, it's like, I was like, dude, I want to fucking hang out with this guy. Like, he's got so much personality, and it's just like, we got literally nothing.
Nope.
I, like, his mustache stared at me. Like, it was just like, I didn't know what to do. I just had to walk away. Like, I was just...
Well, what can you do?
Yeah, like, I was like, okay. We went over to Ken Forhey, and he was like, sweetest man. He's like, oh, you want a picture? I was like, man, I was like, I don't have the money for it, but I just wanted to meet you, like... And he was like, oh, yeah, you don't understand. Like, he was super cool guy, but it was, and dude, it's huge. Like,
very big man, yeah.
I mean, I'm a short motherfucker, but I was like, good night.
Yeah, dude.
But yeah, it was like the Tom Savini thing. So it's like, I don't know if there's like any stories like that with Romero or, you know, just any, but at the same time, I almost don't want it to be. Like, because I want that image of like how Romero would be, especially like there, like in his older age with his big fucking glasses. Like, I want to know where he got like idea of putting those shit on. Like.
And when you saw them, if you the way you, good God, that man was blind as a bat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, and he's I for the longest time, I didn't really realize that he had a ponytail. Like, I didn't realize that his hair was that long where he had, like, actually like had a ponytail. Mm. I just always thought that he had just had like short. Like, just short hair. So. No. It's a, yeah. But, like, I always love just kind of hearing, you know, Romero talk about, you know, certain things and just kind of how he perceives stuff. So, I mean, it was like, I don't want that kind of tainted at all. So, it's nah. I like where it is with the films. And as you said, yes. Are they, for me, are they great films? No. Are they fun films? Hell yes. And that's the thing, is he is the granddaddy. He is everything that we know is to zombies. So it's like, yes, you got it. Like, that respect and that level is there. It's just like what I say with John Carpenter. It's like, I absolutely love John Carpenter's films, like, you know, The Thing and, you know, stuff like that. But it's just like, Halloween, it's like, I respect that original one now.
More than you actually like it.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it's like, I know where it came from. I know that, like, now going forward, like, every other slasher movie that I watched, this kind of was the base of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now that we got Black, we're huge fans of Black Christmas. Now we know that.
Well, yeah, now we know that exists.
Now we know that that was kind of the start of it. But it's just like, God, I cannot wait to watch Black Christmas.
Like, yeah, I'm probably gonna watch it next week.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. But yeah, like, that was the thing was, for me, in this little, I guess, because we can't give a skull rating based on our, because we have two completely polarizing.
Well, they're very opposite, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, we can't give our skull ratings on that, like, for, like, our creeping, like, thing. So, for me, like, if I had to rate these things, I would have to probably put, it would definitely be Dawn, original Night of the Living Dead, Land of the Dead, remake of Night, and then Day.
Mm.
Like, that would probably be my, so, like, Day being the number one.
Right.
But, like, that would be my list. But I don't know where yours would fall, because almost all of these were very, very low.
If I had to rank them, let me think. I'd probably say Day of the Dead is at the bottom. Dawn of the Dead. The original Night of the Living Dead. The Night of the Living Dead remake. And Land of the Dead.
Mm.
At the top.
See, really different.
It's pretty much inverted from where you were at.
Yeah, I mean, that's, and that was one thing where it's like, I almost feel like there has to be something.
Actually, abort that. Switch Day of the Dead and Dawn of the Dead.
Okay.
Day of the Dead, yes, I got frustrated, but, like, there was a few redeeming things to it. Dawn of the Dead just bored me.
Yeah, and that's where I was like, looking back at, you know, a lot of these movies, like, I enjoy them and I'm a fan of them, but I can definitely see with Dawn, it's like, I don't get this.
The hype.
I don't understand. It's like, I get that it's like, okay, that is the thing, but it's like, and I also want to understand the hype of it. I'm a fan of it, and it's, I don't get, I was like, because I watched that movie and I'm like, the makeup effects, it's like,
and nothing happens.
Yeah, it's,
I mean, the makeup looks bad and nothing happens.
Yeah, so I mean, it's, I can definitely see where it's definitely a slow and in a bit of a bore compared to the other ones. Day of the Dead is my absolute favorite. Now, did you happen to have any kills? Were there any, like, zombie kills or any human kills?
The helicopter blade taking the top off in Day of the Dead always makes me chuckle.
Yes.
It's so ridiculous. It's because it's stupid.
What a cool stunt, though.
Like, yeah. It's stupid as hell with his, like, Frankenstein dome piece on there.
Oh, yeah. It's so
and,
good.
Yeah, that was fucking hilarious. It was so bad. But in terms of, like, standout kills, no, not really. That one just stands out to me because it's funny and really dumb. But the overall, no, there's nothing that sticks out as being particularly exciting or memorable. And if I have to be totally honest, I've already forgotten pretty much everything in most of those movies.
Can I tell you where you're wrong?
Okay.
Yeah. Choke on it! Choke on it! The Rhodes death. Come on!
I forgot about it, actually. I'm aware that it is a super iconic one. I'm not even going to pretend that. However, I basically forgot about it because none of those movies were memorable for me. And it's been 3 weeks, so.
So, yeah, like, that is my, that's my all-time favorite death and scene, just because of the lead-up with that, where Bub, he sees Frankenstein has been shot, and he gets very upset. So he knows that he's, and he finds the gun, picks it up, and he's gonna go take care of business, which is fucking awesome. But then he runs into Rhodes, and after all the zombies are being led into the bunker, and Rhodes decides, he runs into Bub, and then he starts to run away, and then Bub starts cracking shots off at him, and then ends up hitting him.
Right.
So that's the thing, is like, so not only is this zombie learning how to shoot, he hit the guy that's trying to run away, and then as Rhodes is trying to get away, he ends up opening up a door to a whole herd of zombies that go to, you know, reach out and grab him, and then all of a sudden Bub takes one more shot, hits him right in the stomach, and then Rhodes falls back into all the zombies, and they literally rip him apart. And that whole thing, he just starts screaming the whole choke on it bit. And I was just like, that's so fucking good.
You're tearing me apart.
Oh my god. Literally.
Oh, hi Mark.
Yeah. just seeing all the zombies like ripping, like, you know, pieces of him away. And then on top of that, the filming of that is more insane than what actually we saw.
Oh, with the rotten entrails?
Yeah, stuff? Because yeah. Someone accidentally kicked the plug out from the freezer. And so they're using, like,
rotting entrails.
Just rotting entrails. Like, the actor that, I believe he passed away a couple years ago.
He just passed.
Which is sad, but like
he's young too. He's only in the 60s.
So he was saying like he had, like, because they had to put him in a hole, so he couldn't go anywhere, and so they had to just like
and not puke.
Yeah. Oh no. He did eventually, but he's like, I can't, like, just the rotting smell. Like, he had to just basically bask in it. And on top of that, the zombies had to play in it. It's like, so that's...
And then they had to reset for another take.
Oh, so crazy. Brutal. But yeah, special effects are fucking boss in that film, like, hands down. And that road scene is my all-time favorite.
I do remember Greg Nicotero's head.
Yep, Greg Nicotero's head.
But no, these... we're done with these. I mean, I could take it or leave it on the series as a whole. And I mean, if you love it, that's great. I'm glad somebody does. It's just, these are never going to be for me. I don't think I'm ever going to be on board with the Zed thing. I'm just, zombies don't do it for me.
Yeah, like I said, if I could go through and, like, really put that effort into trying to understand Halloween and stuff, like, that's why I chose the Of the Dead, because I know that you are not in that
ballpark. And this didn't do anything to turn my opinion around.
Bummer. I tried, guys. I tried.
But, however, I'm much excited because we did this, we had a few holes open up in the schedule, which I'm pretty thrilled about. It's been 3.5 years, but I finally got it squeezed in there. Next week we're doing The Lost Boys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You're thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
You're so excited.
I cannot wait to have to sit through the Frog Brothers.
Oh, come on. That oiled-up saxophone player does it
every
time. That's
the best part of the whole fucking movie.
It's unnecessary is what it is, but I love it.
Do you know that that guy goes to conventions? Mm-hmm. Like, he signs pictures for people.
He was a touring musician in a lot of people's bands too. Like, I know. Famous.
I know. I want to go meet him. Like, he's the best part of the whole fucking movie.
But anyway, until then, if you enjoy The Lost Boys, especially, subscribe, and that'll be dropped in your favorite podcatcher next week. Join us on Facebook and Instagram at CreepinItReal, R-E-E-L as in movie reel. You can email us at creepinitreal.cm@gmail.com. And buy the merch because it's Christmas, or because you love us. CreepingItReal.rebel.com. There's also a link if you want to tap that in Instagram bio. Is that it for you, man?
I think so.
Because I think this is a wrap.
Yeah. Hey. And I know that we've always said that we were going to do you know, the good, bad, and the ugly, but it's like, if it's just really not going to be watchable, that's, I don't want to put you through it. So, you know what? Maybe down the road we'll tackle them, but, you know.
Maybe if I get real drunk first.
So, but for now, yep, I think Romero, I think we're good.
Yep. So until next week, I'm Mistress Meg.
I'm that good buddy Lunchbox.
And get up off your asses, everybody. It's time for the bub salute.
We got this by the ass.